Hello, I'm Alberto Salvato. Welcome to Crime Time, a Virginia criminal law podcast. I'm here with Anna Dvorak, Anthony Norse, and Ann Thayer. Enjoy the show.
So here it is, legal disclaimer, because we are lawyers and we've got to write one. So if you are listening to this podcast, thank you. We sincerely hope you are listening to this podcast for its entertainment value and not with the intention of acquiring legal advice for any individual case or situation. I mean, come on, you wouldn't take advice from someone you have never met or spoken to directly, right? If you were bleeding profusely, you wouldn't listen to a podcast in hopes of a bandage somehow materializing over the internet and onto your 3D printer. Seeking actual legal advice can be just as important as a tourniquet. The hosts of this podcast are in no way intending to create an attorney-client relationship with any listener. Sorry, we are sure you all are great people, but we cannot stress enough how little we know of you and your case. And rather than risk an awkward moment, let us just remember we have never met. Nothing on this platform should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. We are just a group of friends with differing opinions and viewpoints, which we will try to explore through discussions of current events, law changes, and whatever else floats our fancy. Episode 6. So you got to go to court. Now what? Many of us have experienced a situation where we've gotten a traffic ticket. We have an altercation with another person. Or we've gotten into some serious trouble and we've received a summons or a warrant and we've got to go to court. Now, sometimes I think all four of us have represented people who have been in all those positions. But oftentimes we see people show up at the courthouse without a lawyer, and they go in front of the court and they don't know what to do. And in Northern Virginia, there are so many different jurisdictions. And sometimes you can talk to prosecutors, you can talk to judges, you can talk to police officers. But the average person doesn't know what to do when they get to court. And so we're here to give you some information about that. So starting off with, what do you do when you get a traffic ticket? Alberto, what have you seen in court that indicates that people are making mistakes when they go to a traffic court?
Well, first off, you see a lot of people showing up to court and they're not really, A, taking it seriously. They go to court and they may not even dress the part. They show up in, if it's summertime, I've seen people showing up with flip-flops, and they want to present themselves to the judge in the best way. And right off the bat, that's not happening.
Well, but on a point to that, like some people, that's all they have to wear, or some people don't really know any better. So I know we've all seen people that are wearing things like t-shirts with crazy things on them. Sure. Or, you know, maybe sweatshirts or pants that are like riding down, you know, on their back, or shorts or low cut shirts or what, or short mini skirts or whatever we see. But some people just don't know any better. And some people, that's all they have.
Well, one of the problems, though, is some judges won't even let you into the courtroom if you're not wearing appropriate attire. So I think people should be cognizant of the fact that they are going to court. And if they are limited in their wardrobes, they may want to take some extra steps to try to find something that might be a little more or a little less casual if they're going to be coming to court.
Well, right. And if you happen to have like a shirt that says F the police or something like that, you might not want to wear that to go to
probably court. Probably a bad idea.
Or Drunken Monkey, a bright orange shirt with a monkey that says Drunken Monkey when you're there for a DUI. I had that on one of my very first DUI cases ever.
And I had a poor guy that had two middle fingers on the back of his head tattooed. So I'm not sure what we could do with that. But I told him to walk backwards on the way out of the courtroom. I mean, there's so many different ways you can prepare a client. But that's the point you were saying. It's like maybe that is the best that we have. Maybe we can't do more. But you should know before you go to court that your first appearance, no matter what, even though justice is supposed to be blind, appearance does mean something. Am I wrong in this?
No. Judges are watching you from the second you come in. They're making sure that you're not using your phone in the courtroom, that you're not talking. There are judges that will send you home. I know of one female judge, if a shirt was too low cut for a woman, she would tell her to get out of the courtroom and come back appropriately dressed. Like I saw it happen a few times. That was in Arlington. You know, it happens.
Like, and there was one judge that would actually have the deputy check the courtroom before he'd even take the bench, make sure people were dressed appropriately, and send people out of the courtroom if they didn't meet the requirements of that judge.
And lawyers are not safe either. I mean, I've seen lawyers get kicked out or sent home or you know, hey, you're not dressed appropriately. Some attorneys might be a mistake, but they forget their jackets, and a judge will say, no, you can't come into my room. I saw
I've seen that happen too.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw one poor attorney had surgery on his throat, couldn't wear a tie, and he was not allowed in. And he had surgery. So look, the point is, your first impression to go to court, it's really important. So you want to wear your best. If it is flip-flops, well, I hope you wear socks with them. I'm not sure if that's cool. It's not, now, you know.
One tangent, okay, though, is cool. Some people don't get to choose what they're wearing to court because they're coming from the jail. And I think it's important to know that if you are coming from the jail, the judge is not going to hold that against you if you're wearing the jail uniform. Obviously, you're not going to get a suit and a tie to wear to court if you're coming up for a misdemeanor that you're being held for.
Right. But like, let's go back to Anna. I think what Anna was saying is like oftentimes people, let's say court isn't always that serious as far as a crime is involved. It's not always a misdemeanor. It might be a traffic infraction. And on those cases, you're run-of-the-mill not stopping the stop sign. Your other case of speeding, that's not reckless driving. We've covered that in the past. I think Anna was bringing that point out. It's like, what happens in court? I mean, people have anxiety going to court, even on what we feel, the four of us feel to be just simple matters, to somebody else might mean the world to them.
So one important thing that everyone should realize, and we're not trying to preach to anybody here, we're just doing this to educate people. And if you do happen to have a ticket or know someone that does, this hopefully can help them know what to do when they get there. Because we don't mean to come off judging anybody. That's not what we're trying to do. But we're just in court and we see what happens and we know what can happen. And we just want everybody else to be aware of it. A really important thing that all of us have seen is we'll be standing at the courtroom and people will run up late when court started 20, 30, 40 minutes, sometimes an hour ago. And they're late and they say, should we go in the courtroom? And we all just kind of look and, you know, you see lawyers smirk sometimes. They're like, yeah, you should have been here like on time. They might call your case. Go ahead and get in there. What do you think, Anna?
Well, I think that that's absolutely true. So people do come late. There's traffic in this area. They're not quite sure where to go. They don't know how to find their courtroom. And I think going into a courtroom is really intimidating and they're not sure, am I allowed in there? If it started already, are they allowed to even come in the room? And you know, all of us have directed people that if they're late for court, take their ticket and take it up to a deputy in their courtroom so that the deputy can go to the judge and find out, you know, if their case had already been called. Because whether if you've come to court and you want to either fight that ticket or show the judge you fixed your registration, it's as simple as that, or, you know, you have a much more serious charge and you want to show you're being responsible, you really want to get credit for being there. So, you know, feel comfortable to going in and respectfully asking a deputy. You know, in Virginia, the deputies are wearing the police officers with the brown shirts. A lot of people don't know the distinction between the police officers. They think they're all police officers. Well, the sheriff's deputies run the courts and the jails in many of the jurisdictions. In some jurisdictions, the sheriff's deputies are actually the arresting officers for everything. But in Fairfax, Alexandria, Arlington, and Prince William County, the sheriff's deputies are the people that run the courtrooms and they run the jail. And, you know, as long as you're respectful, you can make sure that you aren't, if you're late for court, that your case will be recalled and either you'll get a new court date or the court will let you know what's going on.
Here's also a practical bit of advice. I mean, think about it. Obviously, if you have court, you have to take some time off of work. And you may have a summons that says, now with COVID, the times are completely different. You have staggered dockets in many jurisdictions. You may be summons to go to court at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or whatever hour. Plan on having more than just that hour free. You want to make sure you make plans at work to just be off maybe that first half of the day or maybe the whole day, because you're not the only one who's being heard at that hour. There are many other cases. There are many other charges. you never know if a case is going to go to trial. You never know if a judge is going to take a 15, 20 minutes for something else just to explain to the accused what's going on. So you want to plan ahead. It's not, I hate to sound like this, but no case is exactly special to the court. The only person who feels that the case is special is the person who's accused. And for that person, it means the world. But in the business of court, I mean, you're dealing with a whole bunch of cases. You're dealing with a whole bunch of yous who are out there dealing with the same anxieties.
But this comes to like another point is that if you are going to take the time to go to court, that ticket is important to you. Either want to get it to be dismissed, or you're trying to get a fine reduced, or you're trying to do something. If you know, we see this all the time as attorneys. We watch people walk up, and whether it's a misdemeanor reckless driving or a stop sign case or an accident, people walk up and the court says you plead guilty, no contest, or not guilty. And a lot of times, instead of, or do you want time to get a lawyer, especially if it's a misdemeanor, the judge will at least say that a lot of times. A lot of times people say, I'm guilty with an explanation.
Bah, terrible.
Right. Well, they need to understand that that is absolutely going to result in a guilty finding. The judge is going to find you guilty if you say you're guilty, even if you have an explanation.
Unless it's a judge that's looking at your record and some of the factors, and then they might find you guilty of like the lesser offense, like something without points, or sometimes you can get a deferred finding. In some jurisdictions, they do driving school for dismissal. Fairfax is not one of those. So those are things that if you don't have an attorney, you may not be aware of, and it's different throughout all the courts in Northern Virginia.
Well, I mean, they're all, and listen, what Ann's trying to say is that they're all good judges, but they have different philosophies of what they're doing. So they may have different approaches to certain charges. And look, judges are human just like us. So they may have stronger beliefs as far as what they're going to do in certain charges, reckless driving, speeding, things like that. They may treat them differently. And that's where, what Tony was saying, if a judge says to you, you have a right to get an attorney, I would really, at that point, really think about asking for a continuance to get the attorney, because oftentimes that judge is giving you a little bit of a hint.
You know, like we know that if you go up there with a high speed like that, you're losing your license or you may be going to jail. Judges believe that's very dangerous out on the roads and you could hurt yourself or somebody else. And so I've had to go up to people and say, hey, like you're really looking at jail time here. Don't waive your right to an attorney. Like listen to what the judge is basically hinting to you and go talk to an attorney before you make it.
That's what I was going to say. You don't have to hire the attorney, but if the judge is giving you the opportunity to talk to a lawyer, you should probably at least take that opportunity. You might end up going back to court by yourself, but at least now you've talked to somebody who's kind of put things in perspective. So you have a better idea of what's going to happen when you do get to court the second time.
And Anna, I know I'm going to ask you this question. I know I've been told not to do this, but it's a specific question, and I know you know the answer to this, but there are some cases where the police officer is asked by the judge if jail time is waived, and it might be a misdemeanor, it might be a reckless driving, or driving and suspended. It's actually something that happens often. And just because the judge gets an affirmative response from the police officer that jail time is waived, you may see some people agree to go forward, but there's some pitfalls to that. I know Anna's seen this many times, and we've all seen it many times, but I think I recently saw Anna dealing with this not too long ago.
Well, you know, it's hard because, you know, just because a police officer says, I'm not going for jail and I'm waiving it, and the court has to agree to the waiver of jail on a misdemeanor, if you decide to go forward and plead guilty, you know that you can't go to jail, but you're still getting found guilty of a bunch of misdemeanors. And if it's in traffic court, some of those misdemeanors carry significant points on your license, which will cause your insurance to go up, which will cause it you possibly to lose your license. Just because you don't go to jail, you're going to get the full, you can lose your license for up to 6 months if it's reckless driving. If you've got to feed your family, if you need your car to drive, hearing that jail is waived, that's not the only thing that can happen to you. And the bottom line is if you are charged with a misdemeanor and you go to court and you're getting hints from judges, even if you think, as everybody said, that you can't afford a lawyer, almost every criminal and traffic lawyer that I know does a 30-minute free consultation. You at least will understand what the ramifications are when you go there and can make a better informed decision about what to do with your case. And you may end up being able to find an attorney that will be able to help you. You may be in luck. Maybe someone will take your case pro bono, or they'll make it take it for a reduced fee, or allow you to do a payment plan. You don't know unless you ask. But if you just go forward without having any knowledge, you can end up really hurting yourself and putting yourself behind the eight ball. If you just plead guilty and you feel safe because you're not going to jail.
And it could have future ramifications too. If you end up with a conviction and it's not that bad this time, if you get another charge in the future, that prior conviction is going to make your next court experience a little bit worse. Yep. And that's something that people don't really contemplate when they're thinking about the charge that they have at hand.
I mean,
they want to get a job that requires driving, and the company will say, give me your driving record, and they've got a pattern of things or reckless driving, and the company won't hire them, or immigration consequences, security clearances. There's some countries that don't let you in on certain charges. You know, there's all sorts of things that people just don't think about, you know.
I mean, yeah, I heard, well, it wouldn't happen as far as this conversation, but even DWIs, I've heard people going to Canada and they can't get into Canada if they have a DWI conviction.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. And the funny story I heard was somebody on I can't remember who told me the story. It might've been made up, but it seems to make sense. There was a bachelor party going on in Canada, and the people lived in New York, and the first car had a group of the bachelor party attendees going to Canada, and they got into the border. And the second group had the groom, and the groom apparently had a DWI conviction. So before they knew it, the first group was already in the hotel room. Must have been before cell phones, but they ended up having a separate bachelor party because the groom was all the way stuck in the States. So there's a lot of things that you need to at least speak to a police officer. I mean, that's to an attorney. That's an extreme example, but it doesn't hurt. Most judges, most jurisdictions will allow at least that one continuance to go speak or consult to an attorney. And you have that right to talk to an attorney on no matter what kind of case it is.
I can't think of a single judge that would not allow someone when it's the very first time they're in court to let them go and seek out an attorney. Now, if you've done it 2, 3, 4 times, at some point the judge is going to say no more.
Right. They'll probably even make you sign a waiver of attorney at some point so that you know next time I come to court, there's no chance for a lawyer if I don't bring one with me.
Now, there are times in Virginia that you go to court for the first time and it's not for a trial. It's not a misdemeanor. It's not a traffic violation. It's a DUI and there's an arraignment, something called arraignment or advisement proceeding. Each jurisdiction is a little different. I think Fairfax has a first time up on DUIs, which is an arraignment, advisements in Arlington, Alexandria. It allows, you know, you go to court and it's when the judge advises you of your rights and your right to get counsel. Now you can have gotten an attorney before that. But a lot of times people go to that proceeding by themselves. It's really important that you go to that proceeding. Do not blow it off. It's not a trial. If you don't show up, they can issue a warrant for your arrest, especially in DUIs. They'll issue a bench warrant. You need to be on time for those things. But it's very, very important that you have time for the court system. If you somehow get mixed up in it, you know, I've definitely had people say, oh, I don't have time to deal with this court stuff. I just want to get it over with. That is the way that you can ruin your record and you can really put yourself behind things. And I think, you know, you hear that all the time when people go in front of a court and say, I just want to plead guilty and move forward. Judge, can't we just do it today? I've heard that because people can't really, they just don't have time in their life for the problem of court. And they don't realize what they're doing.
There's different variations of court. I mean, it's different if you have just a traffic infraction, for instance, just as an example. You have an option of prepaying that and not going to court. But in the eyes of the judge, and in my eyes as well as an attorney, in the eyes of all four of us, if you want to go to court and plead not guilty or do whatever you choose to do in that court, that day means so much to you. because you're talking about your record, you're talking about potential increases in your insurance. And with that, and I want to touch on this, and I think with this panel, we've seen it all. What are the options for somebody? And we'll start off beginning just with an infraction. When we go to court and a judge calls your name and he's going to ask for a plea, and you have the option of pleading guilty, not guilty, or no contest. There really isn't anything in the Virginia law that says guilty with an explanation, but maybe you guys could address to the audience what that means, or the benefits, or maybe if there are any with that.
Well, I think guilty with an explanation is essentially guilty, and then you're moving on to the sentencing, and you're giving your sentencing argument to the judge as part of the overall plea, telling the judge why that judge should be lenient with you, or like Anne was saying, potentially reduce the charge or defer the disposition. And so you're kind of front-loading the sentencing argument right up front when you're saying guilty with an explanation. Like I said, it starts with the word guilty, though, so that kind of sets the framework for what the court is going to do with you, and it kind of limits your options.
Not guilty means you're going to have a trial, and the officers or whatever witnesses there are going to have to testify. And if there's a prosecutor involved, the prosecutor will get to question the officer and those witnesses, and then you or your attorney will have a chance to cross-examine them. And then once their witnesses are done, you will get a chance to testify or put on your evidence if you have witnesses, documents, photos, whatever it is that you have. And then the prosecutor would be able to question you if there is one as well. And ultimately, once the judge hears all that, the judge can make a decision whether to find you guilty, whether to find you guilty of a lesser offense, whether to find you not guilty.
And that reminds me of one other thing. Make sure you bring your documents with you to court. A lot of people tell the judge, I have this document, I just don't have it with me. If you don't have it with you, you might as well not have it. So just make sure you bring everything you need to court to show the judge.
Which brings up another point. Sometimes people have things on their phones, and in Alexandria, Arlington, and Loudoun, you cannot take your phones into the courthouse in Northern Virginia. You can bring it into Fairfax. Prince William now allows it. But so if you have things on your phone, sometimes you can show that to an officer or the judge, but it's better to have it printed out. And if you do have your phone, please don't have it out in the courtroom, and make sure the ringers are off, because it really, really frustrates judges. And depending on the judge that you're in front of, sometimes it gets taken. Sometimes they ignore it. it just depends. It's a little bit different, but something you really have to be mindful of, because we're all so attached to our phones these days, we forget.
Well, no contest is the big thing that catches people all the time. I don't know how many people go up and plead no contest. No contest has the same effect as pleading guilty. You get no benefit for saying no contest. You're in fact getting zero benefit for taking responsibility. You're just saying you don't contest the charge. You know, you're not saying that you take responsibility for the charge. You just say you're not going to contest what the police officer says. So this doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. You either plead not guilty or you plead guilty. And if it's a traffic infraction and you're throwing yourself on the mercy of the court, then there are some judges we've talked about, if you plead guilty, you're going to be found guilty. There are some judges that will say, officer, in a driving on suspended case, perhaps, does he have notice of this? And the officer says, no. The judge sometimes will say, sir, even though you pled guilty, I'm going to dismiss this charge because they couldn't prove it. Or, you pled guilty to the taillight being out, but did you fix your taillight? Yes, here's a picture of the fixed taillight. Okay, I'm going to dismiss it. So there are times when guilty with an explanation doesn't necessarily work. It's not really a plea, but the judge and the officer feel that it's appropriate for someone not to have a charge. But that is assuming a lot. You're on the mercy of not only the court, whatever court you're in, or the police officer. So if you plead guilty, don't be surprised if you find yourself guilty. And if you plead no contest, you're also going to be found guilty of the charge. The only way that you can fight a case and say, if your explanation is, I didn't see the stop sign in a stop sign case, don't plead guilty with an explanation. Plead not guilty. Anne, what do you think?
I think that's absolutely on point. And the only thing I was going to say is regarding traffic cases is that the judge does not assign points to you. I know in some states, the courts assign the points. In Virginia, the judges don't have anything to do with the points. Now, the charges that they find you guilty of, that's going to determine your points. And so once the clerk sends that over to DMV, DMV will assess the points. So the officers, the prosecutors, the judges, anybody that you're dealing with there at the court system, we all know what the points are for these various offenses, but it's not something that anyone's advising you on unless you have your own attorney. It's something you've got to go and deal with at the DMV. And that gets confusing to people because a lot of people just come to court and want to fight it because they want to avoid points on their record. And the judges often will say, I don't have anything to do with the points. You know, the points are assigned in Virginia based on the type of offense that it is. And the judges don't get to change that unless they find you guilty of something less or they find you not guilty.
And that goes for the traffic infractions, but there's other ways to get before the court where you may not have been arrested, but you still have very serious consequences that can happen. You can be released on a summons on any misdemeanor, really, which means even though you weren't arrested that day, say for a trespassing or I've actually seen on DWI, somebody will get a summons at a hospital if there was an accident or they took them there for whatever treatment and they weren't arrested and they feel like, well, it must not have been that serious. If you get a summons on a class one misdemeanor and on that summons itself, it's crossed out that you cannot pay this beforehand, I would really advise that you speak to an attorney before going to court and just make sure that you are aware of what's going on and what can possibly happen. And listen, the four of us know the majority of criminal defense attorneys will not charge for consultations. Many of them do, and they have their reasons for it. We're not indicting anybody for that, but you can make a lot of phone calls and just get that information and see what happens, because it really is a jurisdiction by jurisdiction analysis they have to make. DIPS, for instance, drunk in public. Actually, are they prepayable? I can't remember now. Can you prepay a drunk in public?
I think you can call the court and work it out now to pay it in a lot of the jurisdictions. I don't think it says it on the ticket, but I think they oftentimes will let you.
And when I say class four misdemeanor, so there are four classes of misdemeanors in Virginia. This is only Virginia. A class one misdemeanor is the worst misdemeanor you can have. It's punishable by up to 12 months in jail or up to a fine of $2,500 or both. A class three is punishable by, and now I'm blanking, what is it? It is up to 6 months in jail.
Or class two.
Class two. What did I say? Class three?
It's class three. You were in a different class.
As you always are, Alberto,
you're always in a different class.
I'm at a different level, so I just skipped. That's the way I operate. I just, you know, you guys are, listen, let's face it. I'm just that much more clever. But anyway, maybe somebody could take on these classes because I'm clearly forgetting.
Well, class two misdemeanor is up to 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine. They're not a ton of class two misdemeanors, but things like no operator's license is one of them. Class three misdemeanors don't carry jail time. They are, I believe, up to a $500 fine, right, Anne?
That's correct.
And Tony, yep. Tony was using his voice and throwing it to Anne. But
one of my many tricks.
And class four is up to a $250 fine.
I can't think of a class three misdemeanor. Am I the only one? Or is eluding? Eluding might have been a long time
ago. Maybe impeding. So class three. So in custody cases, if you violate a custody order and don't return your child, that is at exactly the right time, or violate those orders, it's a class three misdemeanor.
There are in several cases.
Wow. I don't know. So I don't do family law. I have other people that do that in my firm.
I don't either, wow. But I've seen that charge before.
I've had something reduced to that charge before.
Yeah, and in this like area with the traffic out there, geez, that's a lot of class three misdemeanors waiting in traffic on trying to cross the 495.
Let's talk about some of those offenses. So we talked a lot about traffic court, but the other court that a lot of people may come to is if for shoplifting, possession of marijuana, where the law just recently changed, other drug offenses, assault and battery, stalking, disorderly conduct, trespassing. There's a lot of those offenses that occur in not traffic court, in the district courts as well. And most of those are class one misdemeanors, which is pretty serious. And what goes on up in those courts, guys?
Well, most of those start as a summons, just like a traffic charge would, but you're in a different court. You're in the criminal court as opposed to traffic court. And as we've been discussing, if they're a class one misdemeanor, they do carry the possibility of jail time. And even though you come to court by yourself with a summons, you could be taken to jail right from the courtroom.
As a general rule, if that summons does not say prepayable, I really feel as if you need to speak to somebody. Even if it says prepayable, you should. But if it doesn't say prepayable, and the officer usually crosses that out, you ought to just make a phone call and talk to somebody. And I'm not talking Google. Don't do a Google search. Talk to an attorney, someone who's licensed in Virginia and someone who practices in that jurisdiction where you're supposed to go to court.
Right, because even if you don't end up with a jail sentence, you might still end up with a criminal conviction.
Right.
And the law of expungement is changing now, but it could be a record that you're going to have for some time in the future.
And we haven't talked about it, and it's going to be for another episode, but a lot of these cases that where their jail is waived or where there are programs or deferrals, dispositions, how you plead matters, it affects all sort of status issues such as immigration. So say if you're here in the United States on student visa and you pick up certain types of charges, it depends on how you plead. If you have to plead, if it affects your student visa, they're really important things that most people just don't think about. But luckily there are people all over Northern Virginia, namely lawyers, that see these issues every day and can help you. But if you go in cold and you may have issues like, I'm not a United States citizen, or I'm trying to get a job with the FBI, or I have a top secret security clearance, it really is best to just to talk to other people about people in the know, like lawyers, who are going to help you figure out if these are going to be affected by this charge.
And Annie, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's so many different consequences if you have a different status in this country. If you have a TPS for immigration, which is a temporary protective status, and you have two misdemeanors, that could be two charges of driving without a license. You now qualify to have your status removed. And you all of a sudden, just on two offenses, which for many other people, American citizens, it really means nothing. It's just for them, it's just like, I went out for a joyride, whatever. But for an immigrant with a temporary protective status, meaning they were legal at one point, those two charges could be a driving without a license and a reckless driving, 20 miles per hour over the speed limit. Those two, that person can lose their status and become unlawful in this country. And that could be devastating. I mean, the consequences to the family are just horrible. We've all seen it. We've all seen it.
So something I just thought of when Alberto was talking is English is not everybody's first language. And so when you come to—
Is it because of my accent? I mean—
Yes. Exactly. No, because you were talking about immigrants being here. For many people, English isn't your primary language, and you may not feel comfortable enough to go in front of a judge, not being able to speak your language. You can ask for an interpreter. They have Spanish interpreters all the time at the courthouses. They usually have Korean interpreters. They have a language line that the court can call, or if it needs to be specially set, they can continue your case. Yes. And bring somebody there to translate for you. So don't be afraid to ask for that. Don't go into court and just nod your head and act like you understand because you're afraid of the system. It is a scary place. And that's something that you should think about before going. At least talk to an attorney so they can help you out or advise you. Even if you can't hire a lawyer, they can tell you, hey, go to the clerk's office and request an interpreter. So at least you feel comfortable understanding everything that's going on in a language that you understand.
I should mention that this podcast is in English. So,
except for when Alberto speaks.
Except for when Alberto's talking. But Anne, so it's really important for those, to know that the resources are out there, especially for those of y'all who have family members who do not speak English and do get wrapped up in the court system. It's important for people to know that those resources are out there. And luckily, in jurisdictions like ours, we have such not just an international community. We have a lot of interpreters for many different languages, but we also have a lot of lawyers that speak many different languages. So we really do have the ability in this area, especially to accommodate people's needs, especially people who are not English first language speakers or English speakers at all.
And that's the beauty of this area. We're so diverse in Fairfax. And when we say Northern Virginia, we're talking about Fairfax, Loudoun County, even Prince William, Arlington, Alexandria. And within those jurisdictions, there are some local courts, city of Fairfax and Vienna, town of Vienna, Herndon, things like that. The diversity around here, I love it. And the courts have done a really good job of accommodating that diversity by having the ability to get interpreters. And I speak Spanish, and I thought that I was fluent in Spanish. I can communicate, but even within the Spanish language, there's so many different dialects, and they actually have different interpreters who come in on request to communicate with some people who are native to a very remote village in South America. It's just amazing what they've done. So
right. And that's the same thing for a lot of different languages, a lot of different dialects. And I'd emphasize, I think what Anna was saying, if you let the court know in advance by even just a few days, they can make sure somebody is there who can understand you and then tell the judge what it is that you want the judge to know.
One thing we didn't talk about is not everybody can afford an attorney. And some people think if you're charged with a criminal or traffic offense that you're entitled to an attorney, and the Constitution does allow you or afford you that right, but it's only on offenses where you face jail. So if they're waiving jail, or it's just a traffic ticket where you're not even facing jail to begin with, you can't get a court-appointed attorney. And you have to be aware of that. So sometimes it might look good that they're waiving jail, but as Alberto and everybody's talked about before, that can have some consequences to you. And that's a decision you have to figure out, you know, what the best decision you can make is in terms of either trying to get money together to hire someone or at least seeking advice on what you should do if you can't, because nobody's there to inform you really of all those consequences. All they're going to tell you is, do you want a lawyer? And then if you do qualify for court appointed, it has to be certain financial levels. So some people may not qualify for a court appointed lawyer. And then you're kind of in this limbo land where we see it a lot, where you can't afford an attorney and you're not entitled to a court appointed because you don't meet those qualifications. And then you're kind of lost there. So those are things not everybody understands or knows. You expect that the Constitution says I can have a lawyer, and you just expect that'll happen. That's not always how it is.
But I'd like everybody to take from this podcast that, you know, we don't want people to be afraid of court. I want them to come to court, because especially if they need to be there for their misdemeanors and things like that. But this is serious. It's a really important moment. And so really take advantage as much as you can with the resources that this system gives you. And if the judge is going to give you a continuance so you can figure out your options, it's best not to just to go forward that day. It's best to talk to somebody, because these types of charges can give you such terrible consequences that you will only know about afterwards. And then there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. So you should, I think everybody has mentioned, or a few of us have mentioned, that most of the lawyers in this area will give you a 30-minute free consult. So just pick up the phone, call a lawyer, call a couple of lawyers, get some ideas about what's going to happen if you go to court, even if you go without a lawyer. That information is out there, and you should at least have that information when you get to court.
Yo quiero decir, oh, I'm sorry, I went back to Spanish. So what I would like to say is just...
Can't take him anywhere. Sorry, everybody.
I know, I'm sorry.
Do we have an interpreter here?
I know.
So listen, most people who have court, they that day means so much to them. It's very important. And yes, it is a very important date. And many people are shocked when they go to court and they feel as if it's just an assembly line. And unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that. There's just so many, there are so many cases going through that court system and traffic court. Oftentimes, you may not feel that you're getting your day in court. You're not being heard. And that's normal. That's natural. You may want to talk to an attorney just to help you walk you through what that process is, because they'll tell you. They'll be like, look, on a speeding case, you don't need an attorney. Well, not all speeding cases, but on a minor infraction, like maybe you're going 5 miles per hour over the speed limit. Oftentimes, it's not worth it to get an attorney unless you really want to fight it. It's just one of those things. But you need to be well-informed. And as everyone said, the free consultations are usually out there. I know all four of us don't charge for it. But to at least get that knowledge, and knowledge is half the battle.
I think at the end of this, as we wrap up this episode, you know, we've talked a lot about get an attorney, understand your rights. And that's really what, so you go to court. Now what? We're the experts. We're the people who are there every day. Give us a call, give our colleagues a call, know what you're facing. It will make the process easier and more understandable for you. And at least you're going to know what consequences can come out of your experience. It's been a great episode tonight. Anne, you want to wrap it up?
And just don't be afraid to ask people. I know any one of us have helped people that were a little bit lost, either trying to find their courtroom, find the clerk's office to make their payments, not understanding what a judge just told them when they tell them the case is dismissed. I see that a lot. A judge dismisses a case and people come out saying, where should I pay? And we're like, you just won. So don't be afraid to ask people what's going on. I know I've seen Anna recently even help someone that was convicted on charges that they weren't really understanding. And she helped them, you know, note an appeal. So you get another chance at it. So if you're really confused or you don't understand or something just isn't sitting well with you, or talk to an attorney out in the hallway. There's always tons of people out there, or at least try to call an attorney. You only have 10 days to appeal from district court. So if something doesn't go well there, or you find out it's in that time frame that something's going to affect you, or you're just not feeling good about it, talk to an attorney and they can advise you of your right to appeal. The judges usually advise you of it as well, and make sure you get it done timely so that you can take advantage of the circuit court process to have your case heard again.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks for joining us on Crime Time. Please join us again for our next episode.